Hello, and welcome to the CG Garage, a podcast brought to you by the Chaos Group. These podcasts are going to be mainly about us hanging out with our friends, talking about cool stuff that we're doing, talking about cool stuff that they're doing, talking about stuff that we're doing together, or just generally talking. We're trying to keep it really raw and unedited so that you guys can just listen in and have fun and be part of our conversation. So I hope you really enjoy it as much as we do. We're planning on doing a lot more of these. This podcast has Lon Gross and Daniel Buck, and we're going to be talking about some of the cool stuff that we have done for the behind the scenes for the V-Ray IRL video we did a couple of years ago. We never really had a chance to sort of put that down and talk about it, and we figured it could be cool to share that with you guys and talk about how much fun it was to do that short. So we'll have a link to that as well, so please follow that link. And hopefully you'll enjoy this, and so please leave your comments and let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Let us know who you want us to talk to. We're trying to keep it very fun and casual and not so technical in some ways, but maybe we can do that as well. Who knows? Anyway, let us know what you think. Thanks a lot. Hopefully you enjoy it.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
So, all right, let's tell, well, you know what? Let's backburner the podcast name, but let's keep it in mind as we're going along.
Oh, yeah, keep it boiling in the back. Yeah,
The CG Garage or something like that. Yeah,
we got to ponder on this for a little bit.
The Garage Pod. CG Garage Pod. That's bad. I like it.
CG Garage. So, that'll be a working title. Yeah.
Yeah, CG Garage Pod. Okay, so.
Coming to you live. Oh, no, it's not live.
So, yeah. One of the stories I think we can
heavily
tell.
Heavily edited.
One of the stories. Photoshopped and everything.
I think we can tell is the story of how we first got together and did something creative together, which was IRL. So this is how it happened. Lon, how long had you been in LA at that point?
Like a day.
Oh wow!
No. I'd actually when we
you're ruining the fantasy here now.
It wasn't very long though.
No, you'd only been here a couple of months.
Maybe not even that long. Maybe not even a couple of months.
Right.
And I had come into town, you know, a couple of months before that to do a shoot at DD, and you know, I had kind of started to talk a little bit. I mean, I've known Chris for a long time, but we never really got a chance to hang out until I moved to LA.
No, and it was always at like a SIGGRAPH or right. An event like that. Yeah. We're hanging out.
I was bombed at a conference. Yeah.
The best way to do it. Right.
Like, hey, it's Lon. Cool. Yeah, right. What are you drinking?
And here we are drinking.
What did you want it to do?
Well, the thing was is that we were coming up on the 10-year anniversary, and we wanted to do something pretty, you know, unique or interesting for that. We were planning on an event or a party or, you know, whatever it was at that point. We didn't really know. And then there was an idea floating around about, you know, talking with some of the all-stars, the guys that had been using V-Ray for those 10 years, and getting them on camera and saying something and maybe doing something special for Peter and Vlado. At the same time, Peter and Vlado were being interviewed back at headquarters with what appeared to have been a handy cam.
Bad one too.
We got some handy cam footage, which was what's a little rough. And then, you know, so basically I called Chris up and I said, Chris, let's go meet for drinks, because I wanted to throw the idea out about doing some kind of interview.
Right. Well, so you called me. Yeah, you're on the phone. It's like, hey, got this thing. And I think it was Amanda's idea to call it the All-Stars, right?
Yes. Yeah. And actually, she's pretty proud of that one.
Yeah, she should be. Yeah, it's a good one. So she had the idea. It's like, oh, we want to do this CG All-Stars. Oh, that sounds cool. It's like, we want to do, you know, interviews with all the guy. And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
We'll climb into a conference room.
Yeah. And get so, on a, so,
it's going to be lame.
So I was just kind of like, ugh. I just didn't want to do it. And I was hanging out, and we were going to, it was Dan Thrawn and you, and we were going to meet on the patio for drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were going out the patio. This is back at Digital Domain. And I started complaining. It's like, they want to do these interviews with all these V-Ray guys. And it's like, it's cool. I like it. They're all nice guys. But I mean, it's like, I just hate those videos where a guy is in a conference room.
Well, it's a talking head thing, right?
It's a talking head. And you're sitting there and you know that everything that's coming out of my mouth is bullshit, you know,
it sounds like
bad marketing, right?
Well, and they're also, I've seen it done really well where people are very good on camera for the talking heads, but that's few and far between.
Yeah. And we're CG guys.
Completely uncomfortable.
So I was just kind of upset, and so I started bitching to you and to Thrawn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Dan Thrawn, who's not here, unfortunately, but he was going to try to be here. He was supposed to be here. He was started.
Thrawn, this is for you, buddy.
Paging Dan Thrawn. Yeah.
So they were just laughing at me because I was complaining, because I love to complain.
I would never expect that at all.
So after I bitch about how I don't want to do this, I leave to go clean my glass so that we can have a drink out on the patio. And then something happened between the time I was cleaning my glass and the time I came back. So you were with Thrawn. How the hell did you guys?
Well, I thought you went to the restroom. You weren't there. Right. So we commenced drinking and started laughing and just making fun of, you know, the idea of this thing. And I said, you know what? We should just screw that and just rob a bank.
That's
actually kind of what we did. Now, I don't remember if I said that or if Thrawn said that. I told you we were
drinking. I think either you or he ran with it.
I would say we both came just up with the idea. And then he just starts going wild with the idea.
Well, that's Thrawn, right? Crazy. You can give him like a half an idea and he'll bake it into full opera.
And then by the time you came back, we already had it halfway planned out.
Right.
You're like, what the heck?
So yeah, I came back with like clean glasses, like, all right, I gotta do this thing. I was like, no, we're gonna rob a bank. It's like, what? And so,
like, really rob a bank?
Basically going through this
stuff.
I think
the original plan was to actually rob a bank.
And it was this thing about some kind of a heist thing and then chase, and then it was gonna be like this full-on action movie about robbing a bank. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. And then as I started to think about it, then it started to make more sense. And then we started to develop a little bit as we went along. And I think we started having the idea of like it just becoming this crescendo idea of just us doing this.
Well, even the word heist in and of itself does something to your brain, which immediately goes,
yes, exactly.
Like if somebody comes up and says, do you want to pull a heist? Yeah.
I'm like, sure, yes, yeah, when? Why?
Yeah. So. I said, all right, and we loved it because, of course, we've been out on the patio having a few drinks and enjoying it and laughing like we're doing right now. And so I said, all right, well, let's go. I'm going to call Lon. I'm going to pitch him the idea. Let's meet for lunch. And I just like there was in my mind, I was like, there's no way. Well, I was glad. It's like, you know what? It's cool because there's no way he's going to go for it. So
don't worry about
don't
it.
Don't worry about it. It's all this. Good.
Probably fine. Yeah,
probably fine. So I was like, you know what? It's just some crazy idea. It's good. You throw away the first idea. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. We're supposed to.
And so I called, and then I said, all right, we're meeting Lon for lunch. It was at Wurstkirch, right?
Yeah.
At Wurstkirch. And it was us and Thrawn. Well, the three of us and then Thrawn.
And it's a good sales pitch place, right? Because it's like, well, there's beer and brats, and, you know, it's basically Oktoberfest.
Yeah. It opens up your mind to ideas.
Yeah.
So I go there, and I pitch to Lon the idea, and I'm looking at him. You know, he hasn't been at the company that long.
He's gonna get fired.
Yeah, well, it's like risk taking does not seem like he's ready to do that yet, you know. And I was like, yeah, it's gonna be fine. And he said, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm in.
And let's make him pay for it.
Right.
Literally, yeah. Like,
yeah. Let's try to figure out how we can get a budget.
Well, the thing is, we get a budget.
What it is that we're doing?
We get a budget, and so we went for it, and we sort of started, you know, developing an idea. Obviously, you know, for those who haven't seen the show, we'll put a link on the thing or whatever.
And when I say pay for it, I mean, like, not really.
Right. I was going to say.
Yeah, budget, it wasn't that much.
Budget was.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff for free. Oh, most of everything was free.
especially
The budget. The budget was way less than what the actual production value was.
Oh my God! Yeah,
way less. We called in a lot of favors, and we'll talk about those in a second because we should call out all those favors, which are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so the cool thing was that Lon went for it. And
yeah, I was in immediately.
You were in immediately, which was awesome. And then we said, like, hey, like, come up with a budget. And you came up with some number that you felt you were going to be comfortable enough to go to Vlado and Peter saying, I want this amount of money, no questions asked.
Right. Yeah. It had to be, how much do you trust me?
Yeah. Because they didn't know right? Tell them that because I don't think people realize that Vlado and Peter had no idea what we were actually doing.
Well, and that was critical to it, right? Because in many ways it was an opportunity to do something for those guys and surprise them, right? So in a way, I think out of the conversation, you know, how could the All-Stars do something and give back to those guys and surprise them? And we couldn't let on what was actually going on. They knew that we were filming something and we knew that we had the green light to do some kind of video that was an interview talking head video or whatever it was. So in theory, we had something that was going on, but it certainly wasn't a bank heist.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that probably would have been second or third on their guest list, maybe, you know.
So they knew, you said, basically you went up to them, you said, we're going to do something special. I can't tell you what it is. You're just going to have to trust me.
Yeah. And then at every check-in point along the way, it was starting to get annoying because I was like, oh my God, we had a really amazing weekend of shooting. I can't tell you anything about it. Right. And they were like, well, what? Just stop it. Don't tell me.
So did they not know until that night?
They had no one had. They had never seen it. Oh, they didn't know what it was.
No, they hadn't seen.
Oh, that's perfect.
So anyway, so we had a couple meetings about the script and we ironed it out. But that actually went really quickly.
Yeah,
we had a couple of ideas. We had like one meeting where we were just going to bounce a bunch of ideas but we had like a bunch of catchphrases and lines that were going to be thrown in, and we just literally fed those to Thrawn about some silly things, and he put it into a script that was tight.
Well, yeah, and I also
we had
think,
a few
though,
adjustments to it, but it was really
I wish
pretty
you were
tight
to talk though, about this. Yeah.
Though you had in your mind already. You know, what are the things that either bothered you about, you know, what people would say about V-Ray or things that you wanted people to know, right?
Right.
So,
or it was cliches almost, right?
Well, maybe, but
like, you know, ambient occlusion, I had to talk about it.
Right. Or everything has Fresnel. I mean,
right.
We knew that was coming.
Well, I don't even know. At what point did that get included? Because I'm pretty sure that wasn't originally.
What? Everything has Fresnel?
Yeah, talking about Fresnel and stuff.
Oh, that was in the script.
No, I mean from
the beginning. Like, we were throwing out catchphrases like ambient occlusion
and
Fresnel. Like, and all my pet peeves about ray tracing were like included.
Yeah.
For sure. And then, you know, dome lights and stuff like that.
Skin shader.
Everything that was kind of like new and stuff like that. So we put those all in there. And then it was a matter of like, okay, so we have an idea. Now we gotta get a crew together. Like, we have to figure out how to get this done, right? And so then suddenly, like, Lon and I met like several times a week at like the firehouse to go through the details of how we're going to get this done.
And a variety of, you know, DD people that would trickle in right after work and, you know, join in and contribute to
whatever it was just,
was going on.
And it was this, it was kind of this weird scenario where suddenly I became a producer by accident. In a weird way. And that was a very strange thing. And Dan and I were talking about this because Dan was, you know, the director on it, was getting these ideas and he had it all figured out about how he went to shoot it. And I was just helping him, sort of playing line producer at the same time. And I was just kind of learning that. And he was telling, you know, we're going through the idea of being a creative person. And I was like, well, I never really saw myself as a producer, production person. And he was like, well, wait a minute. Producer is a creative role. You just have to figure it out in a different way. It's a matter of how you get all the things going together.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we decided that between us, we all kind of know how to operate a camera, what to do, but we were acting or directing or doing whatever. And we needed a DP. So,
Yeah, and we kind of know how to use a camera, but we do not know
right.
how to act.
Yeah, I mean, there were times we where Daniel and I were the guys behind the camera because we were
actually, yeah, sure, we were shooting. Yeah, we were shooting something.
Can you actually move that mic towards, if you're going to talk towards Daniel, sort of move it towards that way, because every time you turn your head to Daniel.
Sure, how about if I do this?
Oh, that's even better.
I can keep an eye on everybody from this direction.
That's right. All right, so then I decided I'd talk to my friend Craig Brooks, right? And Craig is a key grip on a bunch of, you know, big movies, and he's done a lot of shoots and done his own shorts and stuff like that. So I just wanted some advice, like who can he advise me about what it takes to put something together like this, and try to call in favors, and how do we get someone involved, and what are the things to consider in production, right? And there's two key things that he helped us out with. One is, he said, whatever money you have, put it into sound.
Put it into the sound guy.
Because you can fix...
Which was worth it.
Yeah, oh, totally. Oh, yeah. So you can fix bad picture, especially us.
Yep, exactly.
That's what we do.
Yeah. But you can't fix bad sound. And so it's just, once if you don't have the sound, you've ruined it. So we put anyway. We made sure we got sound, and that was a thing about finding some good sound guys, which we did. But then the other thing is like finding a DP. And so he gave us a couple of ideas, some DPs. And we ended up getting Aaron, right?
Yeah, Aaron was amazing.
What's Aaron's last name again?
I got nothing.
I don't remember. I'm offhand.
Anyway, he was...
I still have him in my phone.
Some guy named Aaron.
Yeah. Right. He was the DP on Californication for a while.
He wasn't DP. He was the AC.
AC on Californication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still got nothing.
So, hold on. I got... Yeah, I have him. I just know his last name now. Aaron Bowen.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So Aaron was the AC on Californication, and he met with us because basically said, we want to do a short. And this is the thing, you got to think about it. I mean, I'm not to diminish why he did it, but he did it for free, right? But he did it because we're saying, we want to do a short film. It's a comedy, and it involves a bank heist and a car chase scene.
It's that word heist, I think.
And, yeah, and we should just... And you see, like, if you're a DP...
use it more.
And you want to add some stuff to your reel and sort of get your DP reel going, like, that's fun stuff. And we basically told him, listen, we got, very little budget, and you're going to have no help.
Yeah.
And whatever equipment you can steal or borrow or whatever... Let's do it. You know?
You're going to be the lighting guy. You're going to be the...
Everything.
You're going to do a lot.
And he had a great attitude about it. And he was really cool. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'm in. And it, we figured out his commitment, because we did a lot of B-roll ourselves. Right. And we did... But he basically... We had three shoot days, right? We had the
major shoot days. We had
the car stuff. We had the bank stuff.
And then Daniel's driveway.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Right. Yeah. So we had the chase scene,
yep.
the driveway stuff, and then the bank
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and everything else was pickup stuff that we were able to do over at right. DD or Google or
wherever,
any other location.
So we basically just had it. Yeah, and we did a bunch of stuff like at lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like we went over to Google and shot all that stuff at Google.
Like, drive up really fast with your car while I lay on the ground.
Perfect. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sure it looked totally legit. I'm sure that looked safe.
But yeah, so it ended up being like, you know, it was seriously, people were like in front of DD.
And people are going to lunch.
People are going to lunch. Like, hey, what you guys doing? And then Daniel driving like a maniac and slamming on the brakes and saying, get in the fucking car. Like, just as people are like, what is going on? And it was like Dan Thrawn with a camera back
right.
there.
And then they go, filming.
Is this a heist? Because I want in, right? Like, yeah. Somehow.
Hey, man, I got skills. I can help out.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. And then.
Podcast heist.
Yeah, just call it the heist.
The heist.
Yep. Pod heist.
Nah, doesn't have a ring to it.
Yeah. And you don't actually
anyway, keep
you don't want to mess with the word heist.
No.
Heist is like, it's tight, man.
It's a good word. It's tight. That's tight.
That's tight. It's like pouring Jack Daniels all over your mashed potatoes.
It should be noted
while
we're talking about Aaron, he is like the human Steadicam.
Oh yeah.
We rented the Steadicam rig.
We gave him all these grips to hold a camera.
Yeah.
And he said, no. He just literally held the 5D in his hand and just shot it all in his hand.
And it was butter. It was amazing. Smooth as
and could be. And he followed focus at the same time.
Yeah, which on without a follow focus device on a DSLR is
no
is just hard. That's just difficult.
And he just did it. Yeah,
it was awesome.
Well, especially because each lens is different. Some of them you gotta twist the thing real far to focus a little bit. Others, you know, you go 45 degrees and you're focused on the background now.
And then you're like me and I just changed the zoom.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I'll figure it out one day.
It's a zoom shot now.
Yeah. Well, it was anyway. So Aaron was one of the first sort of guys we got involved. And then we had to get some sound guys.
Yep.
I got a couple names and I got some sound guys and they were really good.
Do you remember So the first couple of things that we did, we were just shooting on the H4N and the little lav mic, which was fine because the production quality was actually supposed to be bad.
Crummy.
Right? Yeah. Which is a gag that I'm not sure.
We missed one day of shooting that we didn't talk about, which is the first day, major day of shooting was actually at Greg's pool. And we should talk about
that. Oh, yeah.
How did we forget all the girls in bikini? How did we forget that?
Okay. So this is
– I didn't forget.
Crap. Who was the director on that? Who was
Chris
Blythe. Chris Blythe.
Yeah.
Right. So I already talked to Greg Teagarden, who I work with at DD. He happens to have a pool, but basically looks like the Playboy Mansion.
It's his
own kind of version of the grotto in the back, right? And it's kind of insane. And I said, oh, you know, we have to do this scene. So we basically shot the end of the movie first.
Right.
And so we go
which is always a good way to start.
Sure. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way production works.
Sure,
so I basically said, we chose we're going to do half a day at his house and we're going to try to shoot this scene. But we didn't have any models whatsoever. And I was like, I got the location. That's cool. But I'm going to have to talk some girls into getting into some bikinis or something.
Right.
Or do something weird. And it's not going to work. So I told Greg and I said, Greg,
never works for me either.
Can you?
Right. And Craig's list is probably a little shady.
No, his list is probably pretty big. But
No. Craig's list.
Oh, Craig's list. Craig, anyway, so I asked Craig, I was like, can I shoot,
nice one.
Can I come over this weekend and do that scene that I was talking about? And he goes, oh, well, you know, Chris Blythe.
My backyard's already booked.
My backyard is already booked. And so I said,
there's going to be a music video shoot in my backyard this weekend.
Yeah, so Chris, with tons of models there.
Right. Yeah, he said Chris Blythe is going to be shooting a rap video with about 16 girls in bikinis. So I don't know if we can make it work. I said, hold on, say that one more time. Right.
Maybe we should just come by and check it out.
We're just going to see what's going on.
So I said, can I get, let me call Chris. So I call Chris and I tell him, you know, what's going on. It's like, I got this small thing I'm going to try to do at Chris's house, but you happen to have models that are there. Can I use them in my shoot since they're already
Can I borrow your models?
Since I'll get them right back. They're already in bikinis and they're cool, right? And
all so is it, and he said, he said,
oh yeah. I don't know if you know, Chris, but Chris is like this, you know, total awesome guy. He's like a thick Scottish accent. He's like, oh, totally, Chris. Absolutely. It's going to be great. And so he's like, we could totally make this work. And so
your Scottish accent is amazing, by the way.
Terrible.
Almost sounds Mexican, dude.
That's terrible.
Continue.
Anyway, Chris then calls his producer, and it turns out the models were going to do it pro bono anyway because they wanted it for their reels. And so they said, yeah, if I do one day and I get two things out of it, that'd be great.
It's a score.
And they were totally willing. And they all they had to do was like 10 minutes of their time, and they're already in wardrobe, so it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. Except little did they know they'd have to learn a little bit of Portuguese.
Well, right. So the thing is, the producer sends me, I said, I need two girls that look like they could pass for Portuguese.
Brazilian.
Right. And so they gave me these. It's like I need a lot of girls, like a Brazilian of them. And so they gave me these two girls, and the black girl was amazing, and she had this very dark skin and looked totally like she could be, you know, Portuguese. And then the white girl, same thing.
They looked like perfect. They walked off the set of like a Michael Bay
flip. Yes, right? They did. Yeah. Absolutely. And they were super sweet and super cool about it, you know? And then they came up and they said, are we going to have to speak some lines? I said, oh, yeah.
By the way,
you're going to have to speak in Portuguese. And luckily...
This is funny.
Yeah, right?
Luckily, Craig's wife... His family is from Portuguese. Is Portuguese, so she speaks Portuguese. So she taught the girls how to speak Portuguese.
That's a pretty awesome coincidence. That's really awesome.
Out of nowhere. So she taught them how to speak Portuguese, and that shot worked. And it was funny because, well, there's literally a rap video going on while we're shooting this, so it was really hard to get. But anyway, nail shot.
And the entire yard is at a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Something like that.
It's level upon level.
Kind of like, well, we can't put a tripod down over here.
Right.
Because you'll be 10 feet further down.
Right. Yeah. So it was actually kind of tough, but it ended up being really...
Yeah, it was cool though.
Sound was a little challenging because it was...
There was a rap video.
I mean, rap is generally played very quietly.
Right, so, right. You know. Yeah, it's like a library.
Yeah, volume. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, So anyway, that basically was that shoot day, and then
did you shot that? I shot that. Did Thrawn? No. Some?
Yeah, Aaron was not at that shoot. I don't. Yeah, think.
We were all kind of.
And
shooting
then
it.
I think you shot it because you weren't in the shoot at all.
No, I wasn't.
And then I think I did some pickup stuff on it. And Thrawn was also the makeup guy.
Right. Thrawn was putting me in makeup. And literally, I was kind of upset because it was our first day of shooting. And I was, you know, nervous, making sure everything was ready.
Yep.
And everyone's like, yeah, okay, cool. We're going to shoot. And I was like, do we have everything figured out? And then he goes, oh, yeah, we need to put you in makeup like you just had an accident.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like,
so we stop at CVS to get
So he stops supplies. At CVS. He picks up like lipstick and blush and weird
And I think
stuff.
A pack of popsicles.
Yeah.
What was the popsicles
yeah, I don't
for?
Have to eat popsicles.
I think that was just fruit.
It was
food,
just for
yeah.
a hot day. That's right. And butterfly band-aids.
Because why not?
And band-aids, right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
butterfly yeah. band-aids, yeah. And so we got those. And then, it ended up being pretty good. And... I remember this. I remember this specifically because, it was our first day of shooting and the first day as me being an actor.
Well, I was going to say, it was the first time you had to get into character.
Yeah. Right?
And then you realized.
That went well.
I have to know lines.
Well, it was because so far, up to that point, I had been producing and I've been worrying about all the details of stuff. And then suddenly I was like, I emailed Dan the day before. It's like, I just... realize I have to be an actor in this.
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, I'm the main actor in this somehow.
Yep.
And I didn't know anything
about it. How did this happen?
And it's like, I don't know how to act. I'm not an actor.
But luckily, these are lines that would come out of you naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
when
basically
you're not in front of a
I'm
camera.
A, I'm, make, right. I'm making a parody of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm totally cool with.
We're fine with it too. So
yeah.
That,
yeah.
That,
oh,
that
yeah.
worked out fine.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it was a pretty interesting day. That was funny. And then after that, our first major day was in your driveway.
Yeah.
So all the driving and the chase stuff and anything that's inside the car was all shot in Daniel's Jeep in the driveway.
Yep.
And
the windows blocked out with white cars.
So that was the funny thing. Lynn and Graham walking down
the street with a giant piece of foam core.
Oh, man, I wish we had a video
like
of that.
Like an 8-foot long piece of foam core.
They're walking down the road with a big old...
It was funny. I remember just the fact that, you know, Aaron, who's our DP, and he's laughing at the fact that we're visual effects people. And we're not going to green screen the windows. It's like, no, too much work.
Yeah,
we're just
going to
white it out.
No. We just want to blow that out.
So we just put white sheets and white foam core outside the window.
Thinking, seriously?
It's like, no visual effects in this. None. But you guys are visual effects artists. Like, exactly. We know what it takes.
Right.
We don't just assume it's going to get done by some guy in a basement.
Because
I'm the guy in the basement. Yeah, so.
Well, one of my favorite things is as we're setting up for the shoot, the sound guy arrives and he unpacks his truck and puts it out there. And Thrawn looks at me and I look at him and Daniel goes, yeah, we were definitely doing it wrong.
the sound guy. Well, first of all, the sound guy shows up who was the nicest guy, super, super nice. And he has like a cart full of all of the sound equipment he needs, right?
Oh,
and
he's looking,
and we told him, is like, it's going to be inside of a Jeep, et cetera. He's like, okay, no problem. And he shows up and he puts about like 8 or 10
mics hidden in the Jeep.
Yeah, yeah,
lav mics everywhere in all these different locations to pick up every little nuance of sound that was going
Which
on.
Which even that, the fact that we had the Jeep where we could modularly take off the top or the side.
Which
or
actually why we decided on that.
We decided, we were looking at our getaway car and that was one of our struggles. We were like, we're going to get a big old Cadillac. We're going to do this and that.
Which I still think would have been awesome.
Would have been awesome if we tried to do that. But then we looked at your DNS failed Jeep. It was kind of working for us because we realized we can take doors off in about 10.
Yeah, you can take windows off. You can take door. You can pop the seat out in like a second.
So
you
it know, became it, like the alt, even though it seemed like a crammed car.
It doesn't matter if you scratch it. I mean,
watch the paint, bro.
Hey.
So that Jeep was ultimately like one of the best.
So I think that was that decision was more utilitarian than anything.
Yeah, but it worked.
But it worked great. And it's still, originally we were laughing, like, who's going to do a bank heist in, you know, an 8,000-pound land barge? And then once we decided on the Jeep, we realized, who's going to do a bank heist in a Jeep?
Right.
You can barely fit two people in there.
It doesn't even matter.
And it doesn't go fast.
Right. But
so it ended up still being kind of funny.
You could go off-road, which is one that advantage.
That could be
so advantageous. So if you had a plan that you were going to actually take it off-road, which
most banks.
We never actually did that, but we did some crazy again, all the interior was literally the car parked in your driveway.
And actually, a bank heist in Los Angeles traffic, probably not the smartest
You'd
thing
You'd want a helicopter.
To do.
Right. Or like a teleportation device. Right. Those don't exist. You didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, but so we did the thing, and then the big thing that Dan wanted was when we did the accident scene. He wanted smoke.
Yeah, this was the first day.
First big day, right?
This was the first day of Daniel's love affair with the smoke machine.
Oh,
right.
Geez.
So we went to Sammy's.
Rob did too. Yeah. Both of you guys.
We went to Sammy's and we rented a bunch of stuff, including the smoke machine.
Yeah.
And that smoke machine
that changed my life.
It did. And honestly,
I own a smoke machine.
When I watch shows now, I see smoke in every shot.
I own so,
every single
now.
Shot.
So what was funny, let's just
that's true.
Listen,
you own a smoke machine.
There was so much love for this smoke machine, which uses some kind of a mineral oil.
I don't know, some sort of liquid that you pour in it.
Right. All I know is that when we rented it, the guy gave me a bottle.
Liquid goes in, smoke comes out.
That had about 10 markings on it from different shoots, and they were labeled with dates, and each one was about a week apart, and the guy gave me the bottle, and he goes, here, this should last you all month.
No,
this would be like 3 months. We went through that entire bottle in like 2 days.
Well, granted, we were smoking up a pretty big room. I mean, the ceiling
doesn't even
matter.
You guys went crazy with the smoke machine.
Of course we did.
Just insane. Like, basically, Daniel
Bob got to smoke up the set.
Right.
Daniel and Throb just went insane with the smoke machine.
Oh, it was fun. And then after we were done, I said, that's so much fun. I want to buy a smoke machine.
Yeah. Well,
and so Rob had his phone. And I think he ordered it right there on his phone.
I remember that. It was after the bank day.
After the bank day, he ordered a smoke machine on his phone.
Yep.
Right in the bar.
Yep.
And it was $200.
Because he had Amazon Prime. He's like, I'm going to get a
ship.
That's
right.
It was $200. It's like $200. And he said, I'll go have Z with you. And then Daniel handed him $100. That was not a real $100 bill.
Right.
No, it was one of the prop.
It was perfectly folded so that you could only see the realistic part of it. Yeah. And he totally bought it. He was like, yep, no problem.
Yeah, it was not the real money.
And then Chris snuck up and he's like, you might want to check to see if that's a counterfeit bill. And he unwrapped it.
And I still owe him money. I think for the second jug of juice. What are that stuff's called? Juice.
For the Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what the funniest part is? I have never turned it on.
Oh, we got to resurrect the smoke machine.
I know, man. I have it, but I...
Well,
I don't ever video anything, so I don't have an occasion.
Well, there are about 100 pictures. There are about 100 pictures of you and the smoke machine that we need to dig up and show somewhere. You could almost fill a gallery full of shots because they're actually fantastic shots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we were talking about this earlier. I've got a picture of Rob coming out of my
– Of your garage.
Of my garage. We closed the garage door. We smoked up the entire garage.
Because of course we did.
Yeah, because why not? And then we opened the garage and had him walk out with the shotgun.
Yep.
It's such a great photo. I got to find that photo. And I took that.
Well, when we have the photo, we'll put it up on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Like. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to try to find that.
We'll put a bunch of these pictures that we have because we got some awesome pictures.
That is just so funny.
Yeah, but the one like Throb with all the blood on him. That's right, because he had all the blood.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome.
He actually did look like he was pretty banged up.
Yeah. No, we got fake blood from
And that was all done by Dan. Dan Thrawn did all the blood and himself.
When you left the fake blood in my place, I've got like a pint of this fake blood.
Yeah.
It tastes like mint.
Yeah. It's mint flavored. They have a couple of different ones.
Why do they do?
Because if you have to swallow it,
because if
like
it tastes
shit.
Like blood, that's not good.
But you want to evoke real reactions out of these actors. You know, they need some help sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like Photoshop, but for actors.
We remember too when we're still out at your place in the yard. And we're getting ready to shoot. And next thing you know, the ground crew starts.
Oh, right.
The weed whackers.
The next door house.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no.
We're right about ready to shoot. And basically, the lawn guys across the street go like, so it's like, all right, Ray, quiet on set. Here we go. And we hear. And then like this started. I was like, oh boy. Oh, boy.
Because we're already nervous about airplanes flying over.
Yeah, I live near the airport.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And so Lon said, all right, $20 is going to solve this problem.
Right, I just went over and bribed the guys.
Come back in 2 hours.
Take a break. Take five.
Go buy a beer or something. That's what we should have. Just gave him
some
beer.
What's funny is that how cool your neighbors were about it. They're just like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, I'm shooting a show.
My neighbors are awesome.
What do you mean how cool his neighbor is? Neighbors in the film.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's actually true.
Which is amazing.
Should point out that Daniel's neighbor, next door neighbor, we knocked on his door last minute. Like suddenly we realized we were missing a person in the scene, which was
great job, Chris.
Right. Wait to let that one slip through the cracks.
Who is the cop that gets shot through the windshield? And so he's like, we need someone. And then we
all six frames of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel goes, well, I'll just go next door, see my neighbor just got home.
Yeah, Larry.
Larry.
Yeah.
And he said, Larry, you wanna be in a short put on a blazer? Come outside.
Yeah, he's in a blazer and Bermuda shorts, but it doesn't matter because all you see is the blazer, so he looks like
And so he's like, I just need to go in the car. And then I'm going to head action, and you're going to have to look like you're driving and then get shot.
In six frames.
And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. No, my neighbors are awesome, though. They
were until he got shot. In the...
Yeah. Now he never lets me.
We never told him it was a real gun, but.
Oh, poor Larry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they come out there whenever I'm working on stuff, and they always want to see what I'm doing. You know, hey, what are you doing? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I
made a gate for one of my neighbors. I'm going to make another gate for another neighbor.
Yeah, because now suddenly they see you as someone that can help them out.
Yeah. No, it's fun, though.
That's cool. That's cool. And then the bank situation was the tough one for us. That was the one that had us the most nervous because we were trying to find this location. So,
well, first of all, how many people were on the call sheet to come? Like 30, 40 people? It was
well, massive. Yeah. Okay, so well, that was even before we even that was after we figured out.
So
but I was actually trying to figure out a location.
Finding a location
was a problem. So I got in touch with Lisa Brew at DD, and she was helping me find a couple of location scouts, so people that can help me out. And she got me a couple in touch with a few people, and one person was helpful, and he was like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, here's what it costs," and basically like a bank location.
It's about 10 grand a day.
10
to
grand
start
a day.
For a cheap one.
For the worst
and we
possible
didn't even have
one.
Half
and then
that.
Well, there's a strike day and there's, you know.
It was insane. And he said, all right. Here's. And he basically is like, I see where you're going with this. You need to get in touch with the guys over at what was the.
Hollywood locations.
No, Hollywood locations.
Yeah.
And they represent the location, which
is... Yeah, because we're like, we need to do something for about a tenth of that price.
Right. Yeah, that number you gave us, there's too many zeros.
Yeah, the Herald Examiner building, right? And so they basically like, calling these guys like, this is the place you're probably looking for. And you know what? You could probably find a location in this area that looks like a bank.
Yeah.
And so we called them up, and it was way cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
Way
cheaper. Before then, we had tossed the idea around about... like making my garage into a bank.
Right. Or
like,
turning digital domain lobby into a bank.
We
or,
didn't do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
something.
This was so much better. Oh,
well, we found it and it was like, it was all going to work.
Oh, yeah.
The problem was that now we had the location. We're all set. We're like the excited. Insurance. And then I already got a bunch of people at DD, like 30 or 40 people.
Yeah, it was a big list.
And a lot of people were like excited to be in the store. And it was like, show up here. We're going to be in an extra. You're going to be a bank customer, et cetera. It was a big lot of people, including a bunch of like professional extras that were showed up. Suddenly.
Yep.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. They did it for free too. Oh, yeah. But it was like, I mean, just people just showed up. They were great. And anyway, so we go there and the question was getting the insurance because the only thing that he required is make sure all of our insurance was in line and we had to go, had to go in touch with Baltimore and like.
Right. So, I had to try to figure out how to get the insurance rider for the coverage for the shoot. But the thing is that with the office in Baltimore where the insurance company is from, they don't deal with this kind of thing at all. So it's sort of a foreign concept, whereas in Los Angeles, getting an insurance writer for a shoot is literally like a push button thing. You just,
it's like an option on their website.
But
would you like car insurance? Would you like car insurance or would you like an insurance for a shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in Baltimore, they're like, you're going to rob a bank and you want insurance. What?
Maybe I'm not explaining it that well.
What planet are you from?
So. Yeah, so that was like that was a little hairy because we didn't know if it was going to get through, and then finally we figured out that the insurance that we had was it was going to work, it was fine, and then I had to go talk to the company that we were renting it from and drop off the check, and like that all happened about 12 hours to the minute.
It was pretty tight
before the shoot started.
So yeah, it was. No one else knew it, but between you and I, we were shitting bricks.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a DP that's showing up. We've got 40 extras showing up. We've got a sound guy showing up.
Yep.
We've got everyone going to be there.
Probably fine.
And it was definitely our biggest shoot day.
We're just going to eat Costco muffins in the parking lot and send everybody home.
So we showed up, worked out great. We're shooting. We put up enough smoke in the area to set off.
We
the
shot
sound.
Our wad too early on that.
Well, we
used up all the smoke before we were done shooting.
The guy who was there to sort of help, oversee
the location
guy,
manager.
It was like, oh, we're only going to use a little bit of smoke. It's not going to be that much. couple minutes into it, the smoke alarm is going off.
Oh yeah, it went off a couple. I think he finally shut it off.
Yeah,
luckily, he did.
Luckily, there weren't any
probably
sprinkler
he was
systems
pissed off
in that
more
building.
Than anything.
It was still beeping in his office.
Oh, really? Oh man.
So that's
a little bit of smoke.
That's another one of those messed up situations that happen that is freaking out. So when you're on a shoot, you have to realize that some people may know this who are listening to this, or if anyone at all besides
everything
the three of us,
always goes as planned.
Is that something is going to go wrong, and you have about 5 seconds to make a decision because every moment counts.
And it better
that
be a good decision.
And you have to make a decision. So the director, Dan Thron, was there. And
he got called away in an emergency.
He got called away in an emergency.
Right.
Carl, a very close friend of ours at DD, who had had a stroke a few months back, suddenly had an aneurysm or some kind of a traumatic thing where they didn't know if he was going to make it. And he just had to be with Carl, because they're very, very close,
which is totally
cool with me. And I knew it. And he looks at me and he goes, I have to be with Carl. You're now the director and you're going to make the shots. I was like, I can't, but I'm, it's like, you know everything. You know the script. You know everything that needs to happen. We've talked about this. Just do it. And he basically like.
We talked about this, Chris. We talked about this.
Yeah. I was freaking out. So anyway, I worked it out. And then between Aaron, who's very capable DP, talking and we're looking at it and we reviewed a few things. We worked it out and it got me a little bit nervous. So basically about a third of the time, Dan wasn't actually there. And then suddenly...
For that day.
For that day.
Yeah.
But then suddenly he showed up again.
Because we're like, what is Dan doing here again?
He's like, everything's fine. He woke up. Everything's fine. They called me away and I'm back. And like, because, you know, it was a big shoot day and he didn't want to miss the shoot day. And if he could...
Which is very admirable for him.
Yeah. So he came back to the shoot. He's like, let's finish this up. And so it was funny because when he looks at the edit, he goes, oh, wait, what is it? I didn't shoot this.
I didn't shoot this garbage.
Where did this footage come from?
Yeah. But it ended up being okay. So, but I remember I was like, oh, thank God he's back. Thank God he's back. Because I was like, you know, I can't be producer, director, and actor
at the same time. We're all like, well, dude, how's Carl? How's Carl?
Yeah, I know. And then you and I were like freaking out about Carl, right? Because we knew exactly what was going on.
It wasn't fun.
But anyway, that day wrapped, and it was pretty good.
Well, and so the location, right, back to the idea of the location, that lobby worked out perfect.
Oh, better than perfect.
And then the only thing that
you couldn't ask for better.
The only thing that we needed to do was, like, get people dressed up like tellers and then add like, a couple of little tiny—
and smoke the heck out of it.
Little pieces here and there that— That actually, that's something that branding for the
plant. I know that was the thing that amazed me is that you came up with a lot because it's not, you don't even see it in the short.
Yeah, you have no idea.
But basically, Lon came up with all these brochures and pamphlets that were all over.
That's right, yeah.
And it was ridiculous. And what was the name of the bank?
We should scan one of those and put it on.
What the heck was the?
Put it online.
The name of the bank was the slogan was the First Bank of Me.
Yeah, the First National Bank of Me. and all of the pictures were like horrible, cheesy
clip art.
We have to upload this.
They were so bad. And it was like, you know, you made a brochure for investments. You made a brochure for every. You made all these brochures. They were so. Horrible, generic hilariousness. It was so bad. Yeah. And then, of course, Lon played the bank teller.
Yep.
That was... Took one for the team on that
which
one.
Which was... Oh, man, that shot of you getting...
Getting
you
know, beat up.
Bitch slapped and then fall on the ground.
Interesting that wound up on a damn t-shirt. So people think like when we go out to lunch and Chris wears that shirt, we look like a really weird gay couple. like I think
I wasn't going to say anything, but you're right.
I think he beats him.
I just want everyone to know when we're at lunch.
I think he
especially if we go to a meeting with a big client is like, I wear a shirt. It's like, just so people know who's. Who's in his place?
Puts him in his place.
Right.
Which is clearly not. Oh, you can tell by the conversation that clearly this t-shirt makes no sense. But
yeah, Lon's normally on top, I think, right? Yeah.
But I think what was funny was like, you know, we're sitting there and I'm not a violent guy and I'm like, I have to slap him across the face and you're like, no. Just do it. Just do it. Just hit me. Hit me, bitch.
Your mom goes to college.
So I was like, I was nervous about hitting it, but when I look at the footage, I'm like, wow, I look like a violent guy.
Yeah. Well, dude, the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to post in a second, but the sound was so good.
Just like, oh, and the extras man, going
hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being really, really good.
One of my favorite things is Throb's like jump spin that he did on the first take.
Right when he gets shot.
And he does this ninja like arabesque.
I don't know where he pulled that
like
out.
Like a 720
man.
And lands.
And there's no crash mat either. He just falls on stone.
Yeah, right. that was hard floor. That was right.
That was like straight out of Street Fighter.
Yeah, dude. He must have been a street fighter in a previous life or something.
That was hilarious. And then Kevin, of course, was just you know, so funny. And there was a thing when Thrawn was showing it. I forgot Thrawn was showing it to someone, and he was and they were looking at it, and he said, "Well, that sweet gay couple." Talking about Thrawn and Kevin just looked like a gay couple. They were just so funny. It's like it's so sad. You know, it's such good friends. They've been together for a long time.
Right.
And then one of them gets shot. And it's like
they both really like the chrome balls.
Coke.
Oh God.
Yeah, there's some pretty cheesy, you know, Jinx, you owe me a Coke. There's a couple of pretty cheesy moments in there.
Not to pat her on backs,
which is great.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, I love the HDR gag.
The
both parts of it where it's like, hold on, I got to shoot the HDR. And then, the fade. The fade is fantastic where it just goes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because you can see that it's an
actual HDR. Yeah, we actually did take an HDR.
Which we always said that we would release that HDR somewhere out into the wild.
It's somewhere.
We'll have to put that out there.
Well, we could put it on the podcast.
Realize the funny thing is, as soon as that goes out, there's going to be a bunch of renderings with like us on the ground, like shot and dead. People are going to be rendering like
Iron Man or whoever. And then, oh, there's Lon laying on the ground.
You guys realize it was almost 2 years ago that we did this.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it was 2 years ago.
Jeez.
Time to do another one.
So, all right. So
we're going to rob a bigger bank.
So then it was post, right?
We're going to put the money back into the bank.
So we had to had to basically do a bunch of posts on it. And you were going to do a bunch of compositing.
Wait, because we missed Scott, right?
Scott was in Louisiana.
He's working on Beautiful Creatures.
Right. You're right. So Scott Metzger was supposed to, was one of the all-stars, but he was shooting Beautiful Creatures in Louisiana.
Yep.
So we had him always in the script, and we decided we were going to write him into this as a character on a phone.
Yep.
It was going to be like Charlie's Angels kind of thing.
It ended up being kind of funny.
Oh, it was hilarious, right?
And the footage, right, that we got of him on the phone is hilarious, mm-hmm. but just the sessions of talking with Scott over Skype were some of the funniest moments behind the scenes.
Yeah, because
of the whole thing.
Basically, Scott has wrapped his day over on set of Beautiful Creatures, and he was just sitting around chatting with us. Because basically, we had a meeting where we were talking about stuff, about what we're going to do, and it was all, you know, all the main actors in the movie and everything we're doing and talking about scripts or whatever, over at Daniel's house. And then literally, Scott is there as a monitor on a laptop.
Yep.
So just him being represented as a Skype session and chatting, and it's all of us there, but he's literally a laptop chatting and dominating the conversation with his antics.
And one of the things that's amazing about Scott is that, like, when I'm on Skype, I feel totally unnatural, right?
Especially Skype, I'm always looking around.
Scott is always Scott.
He's like a master at it, right? So you feel
there's
like
no one better at being Scott than Scott. It's amazing,
yeah.
Like, because being Scott's really, 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 really hard. So so good at it. He's so good at being Scott, which he will definitely be on this podcast.
And,
at one
and
point.
Then we had one more shoot with him. The very last thing that we shot was literally he flew in back to Los Angeles.
Oh right,
got off the plane at 10 o'clock at night. Took the cab to Daniel's house.
From Louisiana on the plane, LAX, took a cab directly to Daniel's house, which was 10 minutes away from the airport, and started to shoot there.
That was so funny, him putting on the mask.
Like him going, whole thing.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was really good.
Man, we should have took more behind the scenes footage.
We have a lot. There's a lot. I think there's a lot. We just never did anything with it.
Oh, man. That's probably funnier than the actual thing.
We couldn't do anything officially with it for a little while.
That's true.
I think we're beyond that now.
Yeah, at this point.
Two years? Yeah, I think we're beyond that.
Couple owners into it, we're good.
Yeah.
The next thing is that we had to do all this post, right? And we had to figure out how are we going to get this figured out.
Because we don't have equipment. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It was more than that.
Sound mixing, color.
No, we don't have any of that stuff.
No. And so basically. You're good.
It's a big glass there, buddy. Nice pour. Oh, jit. Yeah. Nice pour.
Steve Salnicker who works with at Photocam with my wife, Karen Mightway is my wife, and she helped figure out how we can get a few things done. And so she decided to get Steve Salnicker involved, who she'd worked with for years and years and years. And he was trying to figure out all this.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Steve.
Oh, didn't he work on Dukes of Hazzard?
No, he worked on Dukes of Hazzard. That's right.
Sheiks of Hazzard.
Actually, that's who we posted.
That's who we talked to.
The Sheiks of Hazzard. Yeah. A callback. I like it.
Oh, man.
So Steve basically was going to figure out how we could, what we can do. And then Karen said, I want to do a little bit of work on this short for my husband at work. And they're like, no, you can't do any personal project. And so we talked about a couple of things and they're like, maybe we could.
It's a heist. And then they said, sure, go ahead.
It's a heist? Oh, it's a heist?
Word. Yeah, we'll buy you lunch.
No. It's a heist? Oh, perfect, perfect.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, totally.
We'd like to be involved.
Nice. Heist is like iPhone. It just makes people want to do things. So,
I should implore that.
Use that more often.
Yeah.
So
heist.
So Steve got like Reagan to do all the DI.
Yeah.
And so
amazing.
So she did all the DI on it. Karen did a bunch of comp work, cleanup work, and then Daniel did a bunch as well. And then the other thing is we need to get a sound guy. And then Steve was the guy who's like, I know a bunch of people who do sound guys. And so he's got Wild Tracks involved, who he knew. And he basically made this deal with him. He's like, all right, we'll help you with this thing that you guys need. And then can you do this free sound stuff? And they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. It's like, it's just a short, no problem. And we basically got full access to a mix session and do professional sound.
Oh, yeah. The amount of favors that we pulled for this thing
it was awesome.
Is out of control.
Yeah.
Out of control. Yeah. So anyway, Karen's doing it, and they had to, they had to do conform. They had to do all this stuff to make it work, and we had to deal with our editor. What was the name of the editor? Oh, my God.
Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
Great editor. He got it all figured out between Chris and Thrawn. They got the edit figured out. They had to push this over. Get everything going. They have to do conform with all the footage. Figure out which shots need to be cleaned up, because there was a little bit of work on it. Just as an example, when the cop gets shot, my daughter's child seat is in the back of the car and it's bright pink. So it had to be painted out of the car. Just as an example of some of the things that had to happen, as well as some blood shots.
We had to block out some of the windows.
And you did all the nuke work, didn't you, Daniel?
Yeah,
you did all that.
Between Karen did some flame work, and then Daniel.
Flame work too.
Yeah, Karen did some flame work. My wife's a flame artist. And so then Daniel did a bunch of stuff. And so we had a shot list of about, 18 or 25 shots.
You can't
shots. Shoot
anything that doesn't need cleanup work.
Right.
Basically.
Well, I remember when we're like, we're going to use Chris's car as the undercover cop car.
Right.
And
that's
it looks nothing like a cop car.
It's a black sedan.
Even if it's.
Until you put lights on it.
And then you're like, no problem. I'm just going to throw some lights on there. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Should we get some lights from the prop shop and put up there? You're like, nah.
Nah, dude. This is what we do for a living,
and
man.
And it worked out beautifully.
Right. Yeah, it's a black Infiniti sedan, and it looks like a cop car.
As soon as you put the red and blues on top, done.
Which we didn't talk. Yeah. We actually didn't talk about the car chase. We got to circle back to the
that's
car
a good
chase
that's a good
that
car
was
chase
a fun, that was
but
a
let's
fun
it, let's finish the post day. Because basically we did we also got Alex Smith to do all the music for
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah, he wrote it all custom. Oh,
and
great.
So the entire score was custom made and based on suggestions, and we had all these ideas, and we had temp tracks that basically Thrawn was doing on it, and we basically asked Alex to mimic that or enhance it.
Kind
of
keep
we
went, the same feel.
Keep the same feeling going.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I remember very specifically the last track that I wanted that we had an idea about, because the chase scene, we had this like – more of a little bit intense metal scene to it, and then the last part in the Brazil and the end credits was
I love the music on the credits,
right?
Yeah, I do too.
Oh yeah,
and that was the thing. It's like, what is it? And basically, the inspiration to that was James Bond. The whole part of that end had to be a James Bond thing.
Yeah.
And so, I looked at that and I was like, I want. Nancy Sinatra singing "You Never, You Only Live Twice." It's like "You Only Live Twice," right? That's mm-hmm. this. And we play that, and he goes, "Oh, I totally get it," and he nailed it on the first go.
Perfect, yeah,
and he did that, and it was perfect, and it worked great for the entire part of it. But it was really mellow through the credits, and I said, "All right, just take that credit right here," because he had the edit. He's like, "Take that credit and just ramp it up for the end credits." And it was just milking, yeah. Brilliant.
Yep.
Brilliant. And I should note that I'm getting a little, you know, little love here.
Toot your own horn.
Toot my wife's horn. Or,
well,
she did that.
Whatever works.
She did the end credits.
She did the entire end credits.
Phenomenal.
Actually, yeah,
which were absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I normally don't notice stuff like end credits.
Yep.
But I kind of like that. It was pretty good.
Yeah. And she, there was a thing about the end credits, because Dan had come up with all these ideas of end credits and all these beautiful things. And I forgot what movie it was, but one of the opening titles of a movie that he loved and he sent as a reference to Karen was literally a gun for the entire movie, just at diagonal to camera over red. And that was the entire thing. Is like, that's the kind
Actually,
of look.
That was a Bond film, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't a Bond film. Oh, it was like a Magnum film or some kind like that.
Oh.
And then it was just this thing about this gun. And so that's why Karen did his credit is the gun.
Is the gun shooting.
With a bullet coming out.
And the smoke swirl.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
She did the smoke and everything else. And like, it turned out awesome. Yeah. So it ended up being really... I mean, I'm really proud of it in the end. I mean, at the time, I felt like it was one of the most creative things we had done. That I was just really excited, and it was good.
Well, and when you look at how many things fell into place, many opportunities there were for the whole thing to get shut down.
It was like a Rube Goldberg contraption,
right?
I mean, I'm surprised it worked.
Like, even think about the car chase day. You know, there were there were the cops out there trying to guys doing?
Yeah, there's a guy on the bicycle
basically
around. Yeah,
our only idea for the car chase is that we're going to shoot it in East LA, which is where everyone kind of shoots their independent film in the middle of nowhere. And you can tell that place just looks like every car chase scene has ever been done is shot in that area.
Because it is.
Yep.
We were driving down pretty much shut down industrial streets at 75 miles an hour or whatever it was
in a Jeep
and my car chasing you.
Yeah.
And
with a camera mounted to the hood.
Camera mounted on the hood without a permit. Let's not.
You need a permit?
Yeah, maybe you should.
Yeah.
We had permits.
We had
permits.
That's right.
I've got it right here.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We had permits. Let's just say that. I'm not doing air quotes right now.
No, this is live. Live.
No, it's not live. it was kind of a crazy, crazy shoot day.
That was fun. And the funnest part was doing the, I think this was your idea, Lon, to do the actual impact.
That was
Aaron, I think.
No. That was Thrawn. Totally, 100%.
Oh, to do the thing in reverse.
So basically
the
entire
telephone pole.
So people know, like, that car crash scene was filmed at third speed. Basically, we acted slowly and filmed it all backwards.
Right, like the scene in Ace Ventura where he's in the loony bin and he goes and does everything in reverse.
Right.
That's
so basically the way that Daniel's car hits that telephone pole, we literally just slowly put his car up to a telephone pole.
Not so slowly. I remember it going bonk.
Actually, I did hit the pole. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had to hit the pole because that's how it. Yeah. Well,
I don't think.
And then we filmed it. So basically, filmed it where he slowly backs out of the pole, and then in the edit, we just sped it up and played it backwards, and then it looks like you slammed it.
Which is weird, trying to act like you're.
No, that was
in
when we.
A reverse.
And then we filmed us. As if we were crushed and dead on the dashboard, and then slowly acting like we're moving backwards and alive again.
It's like that movie Top Secret, like when they're in the Swedish guy's house.
Yeah. Yes. There was actually a
You can watch it forwards.
You can watch it forwards, which totally ruins it because it's so hilarious.
It's worth watching.
Though. Yes. Top Secret, Swedish bookstore. Watch it. Basically, that's exactly what we did. We did the Swedish bookstore.
It was very slow.
Yes. So anyway, so that so the like, whole the
or,
whole
or Twin Peaks.
What I didn't think it would work. Midget. I really didn't think that crash would work. And then when I saw it in the edit, considering
is also like 8 frames.
But it works.
But it's a convincing it's 8 frames. Yeah.
It's convincing.
The first time I
when
saw
people
it,
say
I
like, "Oh my god, we really crashed that car,"
yeah.
And we didn't. At all. Not even close.
Oh, we did hit the pole.
Watch the paint, bro.
Yeah, watch the paint, bro. Just buff this thing.
But it's amazing that we did that because I watched it like, ooh.
That was fun, though.
Yeah.
I actually kind of want to do that again.
Yep.
Like, we'll do some like the exact same thing because it was so much fun.
More shooting.
Yep.
Well, I know we've been going through this, but we'll figure it out.
And the good thing is about if we get to a second one, which I think we will.
So many
people that saw the first one and said, I want in. Let me know when you guys
Vlado
are going to do
was
it.
One
like,
of them,
I'm
right?
ready to
Didn't
do
Vlado
this.
Didn't Vlado say, like, dude, I want to help on the next one?
Well, yeah, because Vlado was like, I would really like to be on, you know, I want to be on set and do it. So
is that kind of the thing that he wants to do?
We got to involve him. We don't have to keep it secret anymore. The second one doesn't need to be secret. It was just the first one.
That would be kind of hard to keep it secret and involve him.
Yes.
That'd be a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was...
No. We should totally get him on there. Or just film it in Bulgaria.
Well, that's where...
Take a month off.
That's where they're filming the Expendables, right?
Actually,
they can blow stuff
filming in Bulgaria is possible. But then we got to get enough people there for like, you know, 2 weeks.
It would not be cheap. Yeah.
No?
No. This would be expensive.
It would
Getting people to there and back would be... The
man, I couldn't imagine just the plane ride, 13 hours, or how many hours?
It's not that bad, Daniel.
I've never been in a single
vessel. Little,
yeah, for that long.
I mean, you're talking to a guy who doesn't have doors, windows, or anything,
yeah,
even on his car.
I don't want to be cooped up.
The Army Jeep is as close as you can get to a four-wheeled motorcycle.
Yeah, you don't ride in a Jeep. You ride on a Jeep, kind of.
You ride around it.
Yeah, you kind of, yeah.
In the vicinity of...
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Well, for me, it would be. I don't know. I think I'd
all I know is that
Daniel. We should note to the audience, if there is one, that Daniel has never left the country. But the first place he's and the probably going to go internationally is going to be Bulgaria, which I think is awesome.
It'll be an eye opening experience.
Yeah, that is about as that's. Well, it's about halfway towards, you know, not America.
but I've driven all over the United States.
Well, so yes.
I travel. I just don't go outside the border.
Yep.
Yeah. Continent. Have you been to Alaska?
No, I haven't.
Have you been to Hawaii?
Because you have to cross through Canada.
Have you been to Hawaii?
No.
Well, so,
you can't drive to Hawaii.
So you've been into 48?
Yeah.
Only?
Yeah.
There you go.
Good. So.
And that's good. No. There's nothing wrong with this because I've actually been going through this specifically that a lot of
like
people is like, oh, I have to go to Paris. I have to go to London. I have to go to whatever. And I was like, have you been to Jackson Hole, Wyoming? Because it's amazing. And
oh, there's great places over here.
So there is plenty of places in this country to visit. And I love the opportunities and the diversity of this country. Why are we? Well, okay, it's fine. We can talk.
Are you running for office now? Like, what?
No,
Chris for president.
No, I just think that some people feel obligated. Like Americans feel obligated that if they're going to have any kind of experience, they have to go somewhere else. Like the priority is somewhat more to go to Paris than it is to explore their own country.
Well, it's the grass is greener feel. You know, it's greener over there. Well, let's go.
And
over
I agree. Listen, I was grew up born in another country, so I totally get it. But whatever.
Well, the one challenge that you have in the U.S. is finding things that are older than 100 years old. right?
Not landscape. And I'll tell you, it's not landscape. Thank you.
I mean,
landscapes in the U.S. are way older.
I've been
to places in California where the trees are 4,000 years old. So they're and they're still alive. So that is a different experience.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Any natural, you know, landscape like that, but I'm talking about the built environment.
So that's
one of the allures to places London and Paris is that, you know, you've studied all this history, whereas in the States, a lot of things that you pass are all built in, you know, the 1920s.
This is a very old house. It was built in 1927.
Yeah, right.
You mean it's not even 100 years old?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the rest of the world thinks.
But we digress.
Yeah.
All right.
Me too.
No, it's good. I don't mind this. It's good. At this point, let's just consider the movie done. I showed it to a couple people at DD. I remember showing it to Eric because the opening scene. I should just note this: the opening scene of the movie where I'm in an office and I'm saying I want to talk about like what V-Ray has done to my world. That's actually all shot inside of Eric Barba's office, right?
And we kind of got in trouble.
No. We did not get in trouble for that. No. I basically emailed Eric, who was extremely busy at the time. I said, can I get into your office? I want to shoot a scene for a short. By the way, I should note that Eric at the time was in Iceland VFX supervising Oblivion.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was in Iceland and he goes, yeah, fine, no problem. I like it. Do it. Let's go to town. Whatever. Because Eric is so supportive of anyone trying to do anything creative. And so he was all into it. And he says, just move anything that's in the background that shouldn't be on film.
Right.
That's all I require. Because there was a lot of like storyboards and stuff all over his office.
Like Oblivion storyboards.
Stuff that should not be on film. So I was like, all right, no problem. So we moved a bunch of things and we left him some kind notes and stuff. And so we filmed that. And then he saw the short and he was so awesome and supportive and just loved it. And because he's known Dan Thrawn for years and he's known me and you, and he's just like, these are my guys. These are my guys doing creative stuff. And he was just very, very proud of that. And I really, it was kind of a badge of honor for me, for Eric to be so cool and supportive of what we were doing at DD. So it was really, really, really cool.
Well, those opening scenes are ones that we tried to do something that was kind of that back to the thing that we didn't want to do, right? The shitty interview.
No, basically, that was the thing, right? Callbacks is like we opened the movie with exactly what I didn't want to do.
Which for people in their first watching, right, we wanted them to have the visceral reaction of like, oh,
great.
Oh no.
I gotta watch this.
Awkward, yeah.
Right? Yeah. But then I think that even so, without the explanation, right, because we always kind of planned on explaining it and getting it out there, is that I think people just think that we did a bad job on the first part.
Wow, they botched the first part, man. Jeez.
Well, what was funny about it was I was sitting there and Steve Preak, who I sit right next to at DD, he loved it. He thought it was hilarious. And then Janelle came by who he's known for years, and she had been on some shoot. And he said, if anyone knows Steve Preak, he's extremely dry and sarcastic. And he said, you should watch Chris's short. It's good. And she says, all right, cool. And she's awesome. She's really excited about things like that. And he said, what's it about? And it's like, just watch his short. It's cool. He didn't say anything. And so she watches it. And her reaction is like, huh.
Right. What did I get?
Yeah, How long is this video? This looks like a really bad short. And it starts to go on.
Which is kind of what we wanted.
It's exactly what we wanted. I was looking at her face throughout the entire short, and it was the exact reaction that we wanted the whole time. Because like, kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's like awkward, weird jokes.
Right. And then up until the point where Daniel's like, get in the fucking car.
Get in the fucking car. And then she goes like, what the hell just happened? And she's like, wait, that's Daniel Buck, and that's Dan Thrawn, or that's, you know, Rob Niederhorst in the back, and I don't know who Kevin Margo is, but, and then suddenly we're on this thing, and she's just like kind of shocked, is like,
Where is this going?
And now we're in a bank scene, and we're a heist, and it's kind of comedic
people
and funny.
Are dying.
No. That's the thing. It's like now it's kind of like suddenly Three's Company kind of silliness, bizarre. I happened to hit
with
Ron
shotguns.
In the head,
right?
Yeah, with shotguns.
Talking
and then
about
suddenly,
rendering.
Suddenly, now people are dying. Right? I'm shooting, and she's going,
"Where is this?
What
going?
The hell?" And her reaction is like, "Oh, what?" You know, there's an HDR being shot, and there's like
it's an emotional
sudden,
roller coaster.
Everything.
There's a lot
and
of
now,
stuff coming at me.
And then
right
Sal,
now.
And then there's like, and there's a reaction. It's like now there's a car chase scene, and she's just going, "I don't know what." And like her reaction is just kind of funny. Ends with a crash that looks like it cost $1 million, which is amazing because we just talked about how it cost like 10 cents to make that crash. And then it's like the beautiful scene.
A quick cameo from Brazil.
Oh, right. Yeah. I should note, by the way, the shot in Brazil is
actually
in Brazil.
Yeah.
So Ruda, who I met through a friend of mine, Chico Lima, who I knew who worked over at TV Globo in Rio, he got me in touch with Ruda, who shot the scene. So the shot that is in Brazil is actually in Brazil. We mailed T-shirts to the guys in Brazil. They put on the T-shirts to make sure that all the connection to make happen.
We pulled favors left and right.
So Ruda,
we didn't even know these guys.
And I didn't even know Ruda. So I was at SIGGRAPH this year in Vancouver, and this guy comes up like, "Hey, my name is Ruda." He goes, "Oh, hi." And it's like, you know, it's been 2 years, so I didn't know who Ruda was. And then suddenly he's like, "I made shots for you in Brazil, in Rio." And it's like, "Wait a minute, Ruda, yes, of course." And I was like, "Oh my God," I was so excited to meet Ruda.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, and so, yeah, he, so anyway, yeah, those shots in Rio are actually in Rio. But so yeah, it was just kind of incredible. And to see her, like, you know, her reaction to the whole thing was really funny.
I wonder how many people turned it off after the first 10
seconds. That's one of the funny things, is, right?
Yeah, like, screw this. I'm not watching
horrible.
This junk.
Why am I watching this?
Right.
But if you stick around for it, then you're like,
I wonder how many people turn it off.
I get it. But I think
I hate to think we did too good of a job.
One of the telltales was, you know, being actually able to present it at the 10-year anniversary party. Right.
Which was fun.
And the timing had worked
right.
out.
So while that was the thing that was challenging for you. So while you were helping produce this and bringing in equipment and
right.
making sure.
I was keeping secrets from you guys about the other side of it.
The party itself. And that was.
Dongle, yeah.
Yeah.
When I die, I'm keeping that. It's going with me.
No, I love that dongle.
I'm
going to be buried with that.
What could we give? What could we do?
It's perfect. Dude.
The golden dongle. Yeah, it's hard to fabricate, you know, something out of gold that's good for a USB
bronze?
Drive. I don't actually know what it is.
Hmm. I like
it's
it. Though.
It's a golden hue.
Gold-ish.
All right, well, talk about the party because we basically are over an hour at this point.
So for the party,
let's keep the party going, dude.
Well, that's fine. We can do that, too.
I know that we're going to do this thing where, you know, I knew that we were going to do all kinds of preamble and there were going to be presentations and so on, some of which went a little slower than others. But we finally got to the part where, you know, we were able to bring up all the all-stars up onto kind of the front of the room and award the golden dongles, which was awesome.
And give us that shot of whatever.
By the way, so people don't know.
So good.
V-Ray, the license is held on to a dongle, so it goes on a USB drive. And actually, you can actually hold, just for reference, you can actually hold several licenses onto a dongle. But
this is going to be in the next IRL, the concept of dongle.
The
quaintness of it?
Yes.
a dongle.
But
cool.
So anyway, your V-Ray license is held on this dongle. And so the thing
USB
is
– thumb drive.
Which is a thumb drive, and you can put it on whatever. So
for those of you who cracked it.
What was given – so what Lon had done for all of the All-Stars, which is originally what this is about, with like, you know, so like the people who were involved in the RL video and then several others as well,
yep.
is they all got the golden dongle. And this dongle, and to be honest, I still have mine, and I plug it into my laptop.
You got a special USB hub to plug the golden dongle.
Yeah, because the dongle is so big it blocks other USB drives.
Yeah. Actually, mine sits on the shelf in my kitchen.
Nice.
So anyway, so this dongle is this brass, like, it just looks like a piece of jewelry, which is awesome.
Yeah, and the guys at headquarters did a great job of
it's perfect
making it. It was
Other than
not being solid gold, it's perfect.
Right.
So basically the deal with the dongle is it's a lifetime license to any product that Chaos Group makes that you have access to, which is just so awesome. And it's great. So So
we had you guys come up, right? And you're lined up, and then we found a local vendor in Los Angeles that sold rakia, and rakia is a traditional drink in Bulgaria, which
It was so good too.
It's pretty potent stuff.
It's
right?
It's a hardcore alcohol.
Yeah, it's like what, 40%? It's a little bit like whiskey, right?
It might be a little bit more. It's akin to grappa, right? In terms of anybody's had grappa.
This is 43% here.
So we're able to do, you know, the shot of rakia and congratulate the guys. Oh, yeah. And then we turn the tables and say, well, for Peter and Vlado, we actually have a surprise for you guys.
Right.
Which turned out to be the perfect time to play the video and strike it up.
Yeah. Because and Peter and Vlado knew that we were doing something.
Well, they had to know.
They knew we created a video.
They knew we created a video. They just didn't know what. And then Lon had been hinting on the fact of awesomeness.
Oh, that must have been bugging the crap out of him.
But he didn't tell him a thing.
Well, and so when I introduced the video, I said, essentially, you guys are either going to love this.
Or I'm fired.
Or you're going to fire me. which was a little
I'm glad they didn't fire
which
you.
Was a little bit of a plea to the audience to, like, clap.
Right.
when it was done. So that I wouldn't Because
we all loved it. We all loved it, but... You know, it's one of those weird, awkward moments where it's like, are they all going to get the joke? Or, you know, what's going to happen?
How dumb is this actually going to be?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
because we're kind of nerdy guys. I mean, you know.
We're definitely inside the target demographic.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, what's funny about it, it's like, yeah, actually, let's just put it out there. The video actually did quite well on the internet. It's gotten, you know.
Well, it did well. At the party, right? People really liked it.
It did well at the party. All right.
People liked it.
It did well at the party and it did well on the internet. But let's just look at this way, right? It is an extraordinarily niche video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It is a video for the Uber nerd, right? The Uber nerd that's into visual effects and all this other weird stuff, right? What's funny about it is that since that video is made, and it's now, we're now on 2 years since that video has been made.
Yep.
A lot of people is like, oh, you're the guy from the video who I meet randomly all over the place, right? Because but they're all the same people, right? It's gotten 85,000 hits, maybe 90,000, something like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
That many people thought it wasn't crap.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Some people argued with the Fresnel thing and the, you know.
Whatever. I loved the comments of like, well, how much of this is rendered? None.
Yeah,
all of it.
No V-Ray was used in the making of that video.
Yeah, in a very funny twist. Yeah, V-Ray was not used.
Not at all.
Nothing.
Not at all.
No 3D at all.
The two pieces of software, Nuke and Flame, and then the sound editing.
Not
and
a lick of V-Ray. Not even mine.
Not even. Final Cut, no one. Premiere, no even cracked one open anything 3D. There was no tracking done at all. Well, 2D tracking at all.
2D, oh yeah, 2D tracking for sure. Yeah, but.
That's awesome.
But that's hilarious. But so
is the next one going to have V-Ray in it?
No.
It's like
no.
The fact
no,
is
I don't think we should render a
that's
thing.
A hard fast rule, huh?
It should be.
That's why? Like why not? Why use V-Ray? No. Why use V-Ray?
For the IRL. For the next one, for part 2.
Who cares? I mean, don't use it. It's just not about it's about V-Ray. In not being V-Ray.
It's about V-Ray, like, man, not about V-Ray.
I completely agree.
It's just about us being fun, like us having a good time. That's what people liked. is us having a good time.
The only way that I could see it being used is if that we come up with something that is like a hilarious visual effect or something like that, that we need, you know, that we need to do.
Yeah.
But I appreciate in the first one that it was
no V-ray was used.
All shot in camera.
Yep.
Or if there were
with minimal fixtures.
Yeah, I mean, even Aaron was laughing. He's like, "You mean you're not going to put a blue screen behind the windows?" Like, nope. No, fuck that.
Not
shit.
Going to.
No.
He probably thought we were nuts. What have I?
Well, he was laughing at us. Like, you got the visual effects guys. You could just comp something in there. Like, you could do it in your sleep. Like, exactly. I don't want to do it in my sleep. I want to go to sleep. You know.
Yeah. We don't actually need blue screens. Don't tell anybody that.
Yeah.
Because that would make things a lot harder.
Well. That's good. All right. Have you guys thought of a podcast name?
Of what?
Of a podcast name.
Oh, well, we rejected twerking.
Right. The heist. I still like CG Garage, honestly.
CG Garage,
because it reminds me of your garage, right? It reminds me of that feeling of being here in the garage and being in Daniel's garage.
So CG Garage. I like it. CG Let's just garage. Call it the CG Garage. It doesn't have to be a pod or a cast or nothing.
You know, it also kind of reminds me of a little bit of
CG Garage cast. Well, we'll run it.
A garage cast?
All right.
We're not actually in a garage.
All right. And then I got one more question for
you
guys.
Wait. Because you know what else it reminds me of? It reminds me of Car Talk.
Oh, right, man. Which is awesome.
Oh, Car Talk. Yeah.
I miss that show. Used to watch it every Sunday.
Yeah
or listen to it.
Those guys are still—they're still on. You can still listen to them.
No, they're not. Yeah, they're retired.
Reruns.
There's something that's not the same.
And actually, you know what?
That it's a rerun.
We should bring this back, and we're running along, which is fine. This is our first podcast. We can do whatever the hell we want.
It'll be better next time. Promise.
But
I'm not making that promise.
No, I don't promise.
But we can. I want to actually think about. We do because if for some ridiculous reason this becomes popular, I actually want to bring.
I would be surprised.
I would be surprised. But I actually want to bring in questions and people have things and we can discuss in a about comedic way about.
So we're gonna need phone lines and things.
Dude,
like,
this is
no.
This is gonna be like Car Talk, but for CG. Yes. Hey, I've got this scene, and it doesn't render right, and we're just gonna fucking make fun of them.
Yes.
Is your screen on?
CG Talk.
Right.
All of that. Actually, no, you're right.
That's taken.
Because you know we can totally be like freaking frack.
Oh, we can
this.
Totally make fun of people.
Yeah. Absolutely. But anyway, so.
Oh, you got an AMD processor?
All right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck with that one. Then oh, that's terrible.
I know, right?
Right.
But anyway. Here's the other
Radeon,
thing.
Radeon, seriously?
Here's the other thing I want to try to do. And then just let's because we've told a great story about IRL. And I want to do that. But I actually want to think of the idea of putting a theme song to this podcast.
Yeah, why not have a theme song? But that's Alex's territory.
Yeah, we
right?
should get Alex to write something.
No.
Metzger.
Oh, Brady. Brady.
Metzger, too.
Brady. Yeah. No. I want Brady. To do a very subdued theme song with a ukulele that's involved in this. And I'd love to figure it out at some point.
I love hearing his
songs. That would be cool.
But what we got to do is we got to write the script to it.
We got to have a point?
Yeah. Like, well, he's going to say, well, what's in the script? What's the podcast about? So we almost have to write the lyrics to it.
Can it be an electric ukulele? Like,
me.
But he's so good. He's got such a great voice, and it can just be like just silly little 30-second thing about everything.
He sounds like
for
he
now.
Should be in the Beatles.
He's such a good voice. Yeah. By the way, you should also note that Brady Harris was also at the party.
That's right.
Actually was the band.
He was playing the music.
He was the band at the party.
The live music. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. It all comes back.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But anyway, so I wanted a little theme song to this, and we'll have to figure it out. So, just so we have it on notes, what are some
Are you going through your reminders right now? You're like putting your to-do list out there?
Absolutely.
All right.
Someone taking notes?
Yeah. This is
no, he's just going to record it and listen
Somebody
to it.
Somebody out there needs to take notes. Please help us.
I mean, how have you guys felt about this format so far?
I like it. It's fun. This is great.
It's a little hot in here, but yeah, it's good.
I'm usually the first one to get warm, and I'm feeling pretty good. Maybe I'm right underneath the.
You are right underneath the AC. Yeah.
So this is my spot from now.
Lucky.
On.
All right. That works.
Some fans rather than the noise.
Well, we're gonna have to move that mic to more like this direction towards you because then.
Yeah, I'll put it this way next time.
Yeah,
we gotta rotate the chairs. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But this kind of works.
No, it works. Good.
I'm happy with this. I'm the only one that's QCing this, and so. If it sounds like crap, it's my fault,
Chris,
and I'm not
fault.
Actually doing anything special.
No, we could easily get four. We can probably get five people in here. And I doubt you're going to always want to be here. So
I definitely want to get. So next podcast, we Metzger? Have to think about something with Metzger.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
No. And David Tracy, too, because David Tracy has some podcasting experience.
I actually think it'd probably.
Call out to David Tracy because David. Called us to basically get these mics and get this setup going. And he's been mics, awesome. Yeah. So really, really appreciate it.
Well, when David's in next week, we'll do a little recording with him. But I think we should go back to IRL, try to go through a little sequence and have Thrawn here forward or have Margo or have Scott.
Well,
I already have
like 10 podcasts in mind, right?
Yeah.
Like I want to get... Like it could be you, me, and Kevin, Tim Miller.
Yep.
Anyone. Like there's so many people involved that we can make a fun podcast with. Just hanging out, doing stuff, and talking about things we've done in our lives. And the subject list is very loose. And so far, everything we've done, everything I've wanted to talk about has worked. So this podcast, in my mind, has felt... Like we've got a lot talked about. So.
Yeah. We have to listen to it in the car on the way home and on the way in. And see.
Yeah. And apologies. This is literally our first podcast, guys. So we were just trying to figure out if it's going to work. But I think it's going to work. I mean, it'll be fun. And I hope you really enjoy it. And then we'll figure out the name. So whatever the name is when the actual site goes up, that's what it is.
I'm lobbying for CG Garage.
I like CG Garage. I just hope that
it's not taken.
It's not taken in terms of a podcast name.
I can't be taken.
Dude, I don't think it's how many CG guys are there that podcast?
Scott's yelling about someone.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Just so you know, we've got some people in our...
There's a Metzger moment happening.
Metzger is just having a little aneurysm.
Yeah. I don't think he thinks we're here.
To?
Probably Philip. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. It is hardcore.
It's a Metzger moment.
That's a heated debate.
Yep.
All right. So let's call it the end of the show.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out a whole sign-off. Sign off.
That's all,
sign
folks.
No, I know.
And that's the last bucket.
Oh, yes.
And that's the last bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people aren't going to be using buckets that much anymore.
So it'll be a throwback.
It'll be retro, man.
And that's the last bucket.
Yeah, weeks from now.
Yeah. That's the last bucket. Just remember, everybody. Everything has for now. I'm just going to say that.
Stay classy?
Right.
San Francisco?
Yes. Los Angeles?
Culver City?
Stay classy, Culver City.
Peace.
All right, guys. Thank you.